flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
206 DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. I'm hopeful just because it's going to be 55 degrees this week. Now, I was in Clayton today seeing my attorneys. I was like saying that. I don't know why. It just makes me feel important. And it's not paradise there. The sidewalks are clear, but at every corner, there's like a 2-foot embankment that you have to walk over to get to the next one. So it's not perfect.
That's right, folks. He's going to jail for a long time.
Yeah. Once your attorneys are in Clayton,
he's going away.
You've done some stuff.
He's going away for a long time.
No, it's this damn probate stuff with my mom. Don't, please sign your house over to your kids. It would have made everything so much easier.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because mom's afraid I'd steal it from her. So, good fear.
Isn't there like a thing, though, where if you sign it over, then you would get hit with a bunch of taxes?
Yeah, got me.
I've always heard that.
That's for the boys in Clayton.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know.
The boys.
The boys in the truck. Razor's Edge?
Yes. Sorry to keep talking about Japan, but my Razor's Edge today does have something to do with Japan. But it's less about the country and more just about a decision that was made within a company that I think we could use this here in the United States. Okay, so the Japan Airlines CEO is taking a pay cut because pilots in their organization were drinking on the job. They kept getting caught drinking, and it was like a problem. And those pilots have been subsequently fired and or punished, going through the steps they need to take to get back on the job. But I just thought it was very interesting that the CEO of the company realized that there was a problem. And instead of just blaming everyone else and saying like, oh, my subordinates are lying to me, I don't know what's going on, they took responsibility for the company they are responsible for and took a pay cut themselves.
Like as a punishment.
Yeah. I just thought that was very, very interesting. That is not something you hear about happening in the United States or any business here ever.
No.
And I think we could use a little bit more of that because it feels like these CEOs are like, absolutely untouchable, no matter what. No matter what's going on in the organization, there's always someone to pass the buck to. And it makes me think of last week, I was out of town, but I knew the stuff was still going on with the streets in the city of St. Louis. It's all over social media. And I hear on Donnybrook, they're discussing the fact that the mayor came out and said, hey, I didn't know it was that bad because people were telling me the wrong thing. People were lying to me. Am I the only one who think that's like a terrible look to be like,
no.
Oh, yeah,
no,
I had no idea what was going on. It's their fault.
She needs to get a television because that's all you need.
Or did you did
or
you
listen
just,
to KMOX or read a newspaper? Yeah.
Like, did you just not leave your house that whole entire time to see that the streets were the way they were? And then to just be like, it's someone else's fault. It's not my fault. No, it ultimately, if you want to take that position of authority, it is your fault. That's part of being the guy, right? Like,
yes.
the person in charge.
Yes.
How is it that these people, because I mean, that's not the first time we've heard any kind of, whether it's somebody like in a company or an elected official of some kind. How do they ever think that it's not a bad look to go like, well, sure, I run this department or this company or whatever, but I had no idea that this was happening. I had absolutely no clue. How do you think that that doesn't make you look terrible?
And speaking for myself, on the rare occasions you do hear a leader, whether it's corporate or governmental, say, I was not aware of this, but this is under my watch and I take full responsibility. You never, at least I never think badly of them. I always think, oh, okay, well, here's someone I can trust next time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you think it's just a personal weakness at that point? Because I get like this, like if I'm in a fight with someone, an argument with someone, maybe I'm going to realize I'm wrong halfway through, but then it's like, I can't admit defeat. Now I'm in too deep. Like, I'm going to look bad if I admit that I'm wrong now. And this is just me being perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. This is something I do from time to time. I'm not proud of it.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, can you explain it a little more to Wheeler?
But I mean, most people, when they say like, you know what, you're right, it's on me. How often is it that people are like, yeah, it is on you. Like, I'm going to rub your face in it even more. It usually doesn't happen
Although,
like that.
Can I tell you this? Because I've tried to be much more like that in the past few years. And I have been surprised at how often it really trips people up. Like, they don't know quite how to respond to you when they have a beef and you go, this one's on me.
Yeah.
This one's on me. Like, they feel the need to keep going. Does that make sense? Like, they have a certain amount of poison they need to get out.
So I guess that's where a lot of people's fear of taking about accountability in the first place comes from, where it's like, well, if I own up to this and I'm still going to be...
going to pay the price anyway.
Yeah, so it's like I might as well just hide and try to shove the blame onto somebody else.
I think it's the biggest sign of weakness. You're super insecure, because most leaders that are good leaders don't hesitate to say, that's my fault. I've never been around, and again, my world is sports, but I've never been around somebody who's really amazing at their job in a leadership position who isn't willing to say, sometimes I got things wrong. And I've never seen it happen where somebody starts throwing other people under the bus where it makes them look better.
Have you seen examples,
never,
whether you want to note them or not, of each in the world of sports?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of times, and you know, it's not always overt, where you're going to throw, let's say a front office person would throw a manager under the bus, or a manager would throw a player. But it happens. I've absolutely seen coaches, managers, whatever, say he's got to be better. You know, but it also is a little different dynamic, right?
Who was the guy last year? I think it was an African-American coach who said, yeah, I called a bunt. He didn't get the bunt down. This is all on him, not me. And everyone laughed about it.
Was that Ron Washington?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And, you know, that did not go well for him. He looked terrible. And it's a little bit different dynamic there, because in this power structure in sports, the athlete is higher up than the manager in the power structure. Unless you're Tony La Russa, and even then, Albert was probably still higher up in the power structure than that manager. If a guy of that level comes in and says, we need a new manager, there's a decent chance that power play works for the player. It never really works well, though, when it does happen, right? I mean, we see it where the owner never takes the heat, right? It's always the GM. It's always the president of baseball operations or the manager. It's never the owner who's the one hiring all of those people that takes the heat. But the biggest problem with not being willing to admit to flaws is that you're telling people that you're not going to get better. You're not going to learn from a mistake and get better at it. And I just don't see how that's an effective strategy. But it is what we see in national politics. Nobody's going to take the blame for a big screw up. Nobody's going to come up and say, "Yep, that was me." Even though I think that's what a good strong leader would do. And a lot of people are taught in leadership positions. I know, even in a sports setting, sometimes you take the blame for something that's not your fault,
mm-hmm,
to keep someone else from having to deal with it. I can tell you this. You know who the master of that was Tony La Russa. He was the master of, when some kind of problem was happening, drawing the attention to himself rather than letting it be on the player, rather than letting it be on the person that screwed up. And it worked. It was super effective leadership skill, because leadership is not just about keeping your job. Leadership is about getting the most out of the people that work for you. It's about leading to success, not just holding your position.
You know who's good at that?
Our boss.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's great.
Yep. In fact, I have examples this weekend of him saying, oops, I screwed up. Yep. Texted the sports guys that we were all just, you know, talking about things. And
I'm trying to think of the last time. I'm trying to think of who is the highest level person in my recent memory who stepped up and did that. And I can't think of one.
It probably is less noticeable because it's probably not happening. And I think that's part of the problem, right? We're talking about the mayor of St. Louis, but this is true of people that hold positions in Congress or, you know, in the White House. How many times does a White House ever come out and say, yep, we screwed that up?
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, like, I'm not a fan of Trump's, but he's absolutely right about the way we withdrew from Afghanistan.
Sure.
And to my knowledge, I could be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong. But I don't remember Joe Biden ever stepping up and saying, yeah, that wasn't great.
It's arguably, I mean, again, when we talk about effectiveness of leadership, you are not an effective leader if you can only point out the flaws in other people. That's not leadership. And the people that will gain respect, whether it's openly and publicly acknowledged or not, maybe sometimes it's even subconscious, are the people that will take responsibility and then have the ability to go fix the problem. And the problem, and I think what we see at the level of the mayor's office here is reflective of what we see in the Senate and in the White House. And it is never accept blame, mm-hmm. never acknowledge a mistake, move past it, pretend it didn't happen, mm-hmm. point out the flaws of someone else mm-hmm. to take away the criticism from yourself. And I think it's a large part of why things have gone so badly in national politics.
Rach, can I dovetail this into something?
Sure.
Also in the Google Doc, Andrew's admitting one of his greatest weaknesses, which is chili cheese dip.
Yeah. I think if you want me gone, you can just poison the chili cheese dip in any given room that has it in it, and I'm going down hard. I ate so much food yesterday. Such an absolutely unreasonable amount of food.
Can you have chili cheese dip on your diet?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Does it have beans?
It did not have beans.
Okay.
It had little tiny bits of tomato that I did not eat.
Why didn't you eat the tomatoes?
Because tomatoes have carbs.
Oh, for God's sake.
What?
So you're picking through like a pound of chili cheese dip?
Been there.
Yeah. I have seen all the things that you guys do.
I'm just going to say this. I saw this from a really, really well-known bodybuilding expert.
Yeah,
and he says very simply, nobody gets fat or stays fat eating too many fruits and vegetables. Ever.
Well, I also just don't like tomatoes.
Okay, well, that's fair. you should have just led with that. If you had led with that, we'd be okay.
Remember when I told you that that I actually was down a pound from last Friday? I was wrong. I'm the exact same weight.
Well, that's a win.
It's a win.
You ate your weight in chili cheese.
Exactly. It's a win, but I still feel like I lost some more weight over the weekend and then just ruined it all by eating just so much. And I can't have the chips anymore. So I was like, I took a keto hot dog bun and I toasted it, and then I used that as chips.
It sounds okay.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. But I mean, and also like salami chunks, I was using those. So I'm scooping up chili cheese dip with salami chunks and eating it.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah.
And then just my finger.
Oh.
Just like, come on. I washed
my
hand.
Not even a spoon?
I didn't think about that.
The guy who eats dry cereal with a spoon out of a bowl didn't think it was a spoon. Yeah. Chili cheese dip.
I was watching football. I was on a more animalistic plane of existence.
Remember the last time you did keto?
I do.
The baseball game?
I do.
And I got you nachos with nothing but cheese and meat?
That was a dark time. They either didn't understand the assignment or they understood the assignment far too well.
I think they got it.
Because it was an enormous tub of cheese and like ground beef in there. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It wasn't too bad.
DGS on KMOX. My buddy Maria Keene is here from the newsroom. We're going to talk to her about this article that she and Sean wrote about the Rams money. But then she comes here and starts telling us about people trying to hypnotize her. We got to go with that.
They didn't try to hypnotize me, but
Wheeler's trying right now.
Yeah, he is.
That's what his brother does.
Mm-hmm. I know. Didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm not even being a smart ass. He's like really successful. Like, does a lot of work, does conventions and trains other people. Like, he's been into it for a long time.
Yeah.
But I keep telling him it ain't going to work on me.
No.
I'm not letting him in my head.
Well, he's
no
a little brother.
Way. Yeah. No way.
That'd be the ultimate.
Yeah, not a chance. I might give some other person a chance, but I still I don't feel like I believe enough in it to accept.
I've been hypnotized twice by a hypnotherapist, and I went there on purpose. I paid them money. I wanted to be hypnotized and made a better person. And I listened intently, and I followed his stories and followed his commands, but I never felt like I asked him, was I out? And he's like, oh, yeah, you were out. So, okay, that's what I paid you for, but I never felt out.
Maybe that's how it works.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe it is.
You almost want to see like a video of it and what you remember and what you don't.
Yeah.
If there are any parts of it that, again, I don't doubt it. I mean, I believe fully what my brother does is real.
Would you do that? Or you'd be too afraid to?
I'm not afraid. I just have such a problem like falling asleep in the first place and such a problem letting go that I'm reluctant to try it because I wouldn't want to like waste my money and have it not work on me. I think it works on other people. I'm not like I'm too strong minded. It's not that. I just think I have a hard time succumbing to whatever you need to succumb to.
Yeah, because you gotta like part of it is you have to let your guard down a little bit, right? Like, and I kind of agree with Rachel. I think I'd have a hard time like being like, all right, I'm fine with this. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with you. At least what I perceive to be you, like, taking over my mind and making me do whatever.
Were you relaxed? Was it pleasant?
It was pleasant, yes. There was nothing unpleasant about it. I just was aware of... what amazed me is the experiences that the other people had. Like, when he would tell you to visualize something. Well, you know, we're in a very visual medium here in radio. Theater of the mind. We have to create the picture in people's minds. So I'm used to that. So when he was trying to get people to visualize, it was very easy for me to do. But when he told you to visualize like a specific thing, like one of them was a very important day. And the first thing that came to my mind was the day that they called a nighttime press conference over at City Hall. And it was the start of the pandemic. There was the first fatality. There was nobody on the street. It was very weird, very surreal. So I'm looking at that. And then it just trails off into a entirely different area because the other people started going back to like medieval times and things that they were experiencing right there at that moment. And I was just like,
You had flashback envy.
I'm like, that's called imagination, not flashback.
That's what I thought.
You weren't there in the Middle Ages.
I mean, so I couldn't relate to that at all. And I thought, and then,
did you try to fake it a little?
No.
Maria's like, no. I'm surrounded by cavemen.
Like, yeah, I was up in that castle.
I did. They also, if you can smell your senses, that is really, really good. Now, I could, because one of the things was I smelled coffee. They wanted you
from
to visualize,
that day.
Being at a restaurant.
Do you have an internal monologue? You know about this?
No.
So he probably doesn't, and about 52% of people don't. So I'm all inner monologue. I have like a play-by-play guy right now saying like, you're talking about the inner monologue.
you're talking about me.
But what? Half the people don't. They just react. They don't think through things the way that we constantly think through things.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or do you have one?
I don't know.
I bet
I'd
you don't.
I have to think about this. I bet I don't.
We'll get to the bottom of this. Welcome back, DGS on K.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
KMOX every Monday and Friday. We talk to Bernie Miklush. You can also check him out most days on the Gas House Gang, which is on at noon live, and they usually run it, depending on the Billiken schedule and such, at 8 p.m. in the evening. I've really become a fan of these guys. It's Ackerman and Pauly and Wheeler and Bernie Miklush, and some days it's all of them, and other days it's just a couple of them, but I would encourage you to check it out on YouTube and all of the various social platforms. Bern, how was your weekend?
It was great, man. Just kick back, you know, shut the brain off a little bit, watch football on Sunday, ate well, you know, had a couple of adult beverages along the way. So it was very relaxing, yeah.
Sounds
Thanks
nice.
Thanks for asking.
Sounds
How
nice.
How was your weekend?
Very similar. Yeah, I had thought, because I'm not as big a fan as you guys, that there was a game on Saturday and a game on Sunday. And I was really pissed when I found out they're both on Sunday. Like on Saturday, I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. Saturday was real quiet.
You had a chance to watch Mizzou win. Again,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
They're really off to an exciting start.
A lot of fun.
I'm going to do some research on this, but, you know, a team that's 0-18 in the SEC last year is now, depending on the standings or depending on the KenPom ratings, which I always go to, they're either the third or fourth best team in the SEC, which is the toughest conference in the land by far. And I don't know how many times something like that's ever been done. That's pretty remarkable, actually. But I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, you know, Mizzou, Illinois, the Billikens, my alma mater, SIUE. SIUE is having a run, man. They're having some success. Speaking of using half your brain, Wheeler said that you guys kicked it around in the Gas House Gang today. The first thing he saw when he came in was all this stuff trending about the NFL is rigged and the Chiefs this and the Chiefs that. Take a shot at it.
Well, you know, I'm a man of a certain age, so when the Green Bay Packers were winning in the 60s, people hated them because of their success. No one hated them because they thought anything was rigged. Fast forward to the 70s, Chuck Knoll and the Steelers won 4 Super Bowls. People hated them. I did, because they knocked out my Baltimore Colts in the playoffs 2 years in a row. But no one thought that the Steelers were cheating. They just realized that the Steelers beat one. They built one hell of a roster, and they were a monster team. Fast forward to the 80s. Bill Walsh and Joe Montana in San Francisco. Everyone hated them. No one thought they were cheating. Let's go to the Dallas Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson, Troy Aikman. That time, everybody hated the Cowboys. They didn't think that the Cowboys were cheating. They hated them because they were great. Why is it now, and it started with New England, and now it's continued with the Kansas City Chiefs. Why is it now that we can't just look at a team and say, gosh, that team is great. It is just simply outstanding. I don't like them because they win too much. But I got to say, tip of the cap, that is a great, great football team. No, it's got to be because they're cheating. The system is rigged. The NFL wants to favor them. Here's my question. If the NFL was in the business of fixing games for the benefit of the league and media attention and TV ratings and all that, let me ask you a question. Why would you fix games on behalf of a team in a smaller Midwestern market, one of the smallest in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, instead of rigging it so the New York Jets and the New York Giants aren't garbage and the Chicago Bears would actually start to be a great team at some point? Wouldn't the league benefit from rigging those two lost causes in New York and the one in Chicago? I don't know what's become of America, but it's like, you know, we can't just accept that somebody else is great or good. We have to somehow turn ourselves into victims of corruption because that team beat the team that we wanted to win. It's just absolutely absurd.
Completely agree. And part of the problem is, and it's all those things you led up to with Bernie, is, and I can't take credit for it, but this is kind of like my new favorite catchphrase because I've heard a lot of people say it recently. Conspiracy, everything looks like a conspiracy when you don't understand how things work.
Yep.
And I think there are a lot of people that just don't understand how the business of sports works. And there are also people in our business that feed this. I mean, you know, Dave Portnoy from Barstool is super smart, very successful. He feeds this, and he feeds it because he gets engagement, and engagement is how he makes money. So there are a lot of people who don't care.
Does he know what he's doing?
I believe he knows 100% that the NFL's not real.
Yeah. 100%
he knows it because he's at a level of wealth and influence, he has to know. He has to know people that are directly involved in running leagues and have run into and running TV networks and everything else. He has to know that it's BS, but he knows that this is what gets engagement. He knows that making people angry is what makes people tune in and makes people follow and makes people like things. And that's how it gets monetized. And he's not alone. He was one of the guys doing this. People were getting mad at Adam Schefter this weekend, who's one of the more respected NFL reporters out there, because he was playing into it and pointing out how many calls the Chiefs don't get compared to their opponents getting them. But that could also be as simple, Bernie, as what you said. They're just better at not screwing up.
They are. And they are better. Number one, I want to say this, because I can anticipate the pushback from some. They'll say, well, wait a minute. Didn't the NFL kind of rig the whole franchise relocation thing with the Rams? The answer is yes, but that was a business decision. It had nothing to do with what was on the field. Nothing. And by the way, the NFL did pay almost $1 billion.
Yeah,
that's
the point, is they committed a form of fraud, and they got caught, and there's a penalty for it. And like, to commit the level of rigging of the sport that people are suggesting, to be able to do that, do you know how many people would have to be in on it? The league office, the owners, front offices, probably the players and the coaching staffs, and then you would probably have to inform your TV partners, and then Vegas would have to be in on it, because Vegas monitors everything very closely, betting patterns, team behaviors, and everything else. And you know who monitors Vegas? The state of Nevada and the United States of America. So what we're saying here is, to rig all of this, all of these entities would have to be involved, and nobody would ever say a word.
You know, and David, Kevin, one thing I wanted to point out too. Listen, I understand totally the fatigue. Like, it was the Patriots, and it looked like when they were just about to kind of bow out the Belichick-Brady era, then the Chiefs took over. And I don't think anybody expected what we're seeing from the Chiefs. I mean, going to five Super Bowls in 6 years. Listen, I get it. I understand where it's kind of like the same old team all the time. In fact, I was talking about this on the Gas House Gang. The last 24 AFC championship games, the last 24, 19 have involved either the Patriots or the Chiefs. The last 10 Super Bowls have been won by either Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. I get it. I understand why that builds up and you're like, I'm just sick of watching these guys. But that's a big difference than actually, you know, saying they're benefit from someone's cheating. You know, if you look at the regular season games and the postseason games Patrick Mahomes has started for Andy Reid, as Reid has been coach, they've got a 795 regular season winning percentage and an 850 postseason winning percentage. Their overall winning percentage is 803. Oh, but that's because the NFL is cheating on their behalf? So are you people out of your minds?
Wheels and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I'm kind of stealing someone else's thunder here, someone who tweeted this out, but that kind of goes against the parity in a league with a salary cap, correct?
Yes, but the Patriots, until Bill Belichick forgot how to do it, they knew how to build a great roster, and the most important thing is they got a great quarterback.
Right.
Andy Reid, first of all, hires great assistant coaches. He wanted Patrick Mahomes. He encouraged the general manager to trade up in the draft to get him because he can identify quarterback talent. Plus, they've done an incredible job of managing their salary cap.
Yep.
I mean, and they're building around Mahomes. And sometimes they won't have the greatest receivers. They'll put their money in the defensive line or whatever. But they know how to handle their salary cap dollars. There are a lot of stupid organizations in the NFL that don't know how to draft quarterbacks, and they don't know how to handle their money.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be maligned just because you happen to be great at that stuff.
And I think the important thing for me is not to say that there aren't problems with baseball that need to be fixed. I think there are. I think the problems that need to be fixed in baseball are between owners and other owners. The big boys need to share more with their partners, and the bottom partners need to spend more when they get revenue sharing money. Yep. But this idea that a salary cap makes parity is just nonsense. There is no evidence of that in the NBA, NHL, or NFL. All of them have had more repeat champions and more dynasties than Major League Baseball has had in the last 30 years. There hasn't been a dynasty, a true dynasty in baseball in 30 years. The closest thing has been like a 3 or 4 year run for the Red Sox. And you know, maybe this current Dodgers thing is in the infancy of what might be a dynasty, but it certainly isn't that yet. But those other sports have been nonstop dynasties my entire adult life.
No, that's so true. And the smart teams in the NFL are rewarded. And you know what? The Buffalo Bills are a smart team. The Baltimore Ravens are a smart team, but they just haven't been able to build. Number one, build their teams as well as the Chiefs have, and we're talking about the AFC powers. And number two, the Chiefs, when they have a chance to win a big game, the DNA kicks in, the pedigree kicks in. They know how to get it done. I think the Bills and the Ravens are examples of two teams that are like, well, hey, we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. And then they look and they see Mahomes staring at them late in the game.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, uh-oh. You know, that's the difference.
It's the Michael Jordan factor.
It is. It yeah. totally is. And but no. But yeah, we can't accept the outcomes anymore. We're being cheated. We have grievances. Our side didn't win, so therefore the whole thing's corrupt. Okay, I get it.
I mean, I hate to make the obvious comparison to politics, but I mean we seem to be living in that day and age.
Yes.
I think that's America where it stands today. I really do. And it doesn't apply to any one thing. It doesn't go to one sector. I think it just sort of goes everywhere, you know, and now it's kind of contaminated the NFL, you know, so you just got to go through it. People that pay attention and actually have half a brain understand how great the Chiefs are. I don't blame any of those people for being sick of the Chiefs or wanting the Chiefs to lose.
Sure. That's sports.
You know, I don't blame them for that at all, because I've been there, done that as a fan in my life. But let's not get carried away. Queen,
you know, just because we can quantify things now, it's kind of depressing me. Hot dogs, every hot dog takes 7 minutes off your life. Every cigarette takes 20 minutes off your life. New stories here in my show prep. Processed meats like bacon, hot dogs, and sausage increase your risk of cognitive decline and dementia by 13%. 10 minutes is the absolute limit to sit on the toilet because it weakens your pelvic muscles and gives you an increased risk of hemorrhoids. We know too much. Yeah. Surprise me with my hemorrhoids.
Maybe it's.
I like knowing that one. Like, yeah, don't stay there too long.
I'm sorry. Who, unless you're sick, who needs more than 10 minutes?
Well.
you don't need more than 10 minutes.
Sometimes, you know, it's just nice to, you know, just kind of.
Why you want to be in there so bad? It doesn't make any sense.
Just be by yourself for a little bit, kind of get, you know.
In your crowded
but
house.
But you can't stand being alone.
Well, that's a different kind of alone, right? Like, that's a welcoming sort of alone, right? Uh-huh. That's almost like a mind palace of sorts, right? Like, I'm retreating into. It's a mind toilet.
Oh my God. I like, you know, the joke is that dad always goes in there to hide from everybody when you have a loud, crowded family and a bunch of kids and you just want to. Yeah, I've never had to deal with that. And I don't understand if you're, I don't know. I guess I understand why that dad, if you've got like five kids running around, you never get a moment peace.
So you are a do your business and
I'm
get
in and
the
out.
Hell
let's
out.
Go. Yeah.
That surprises me. I would have thought you were
no,
a linger.
In and out.
I like to linger, but I'm not going to like read a book.
I got barely
I time
for
time.
Yeah, I got barely time for a couple TikToks. We'll just get in and get out and go. Got stuff to do, man.
Mm-hmm.
Does the 7 minutes off your life for a hot dog do anything to you?
Not really, because I don't eat enough hot dogs to where that's like a huge concern.
And it could be a terrible last 7 minutes of your life.
Right, exactly. Could be doing me a favor.
Yeah.
I don't personally interpret some of those studies like they're in the Bible necessarily. Like.
Right.
I just don't think that's like a real thing that can be quantified. Like, same thing with cigarettes, same thing with a hot dog, same thing with eating bacon, you know, takes 45 seconds
well,
every time you take a bite of
that
bacon.
In your mind, palace.
I'm not great at math, but I think I just figured out that amount, like if you had 1,000 hot dogs, you're only still losing 5 days off the total of your life. I mean, like,
bad.
It's less than a week. If you're 5 days, if you make it to 70 or 75, is not a large percentage of your life.
And you had all those hot dogs.
And you had
all
yes,
the hot dogs.
Yes, or the bacon or the whatever.
Sausage.
Just saying it's all relative, right? When you break it down, it sounds like a lot.
Yeah. A 20-year-old pizza guy from Indiana went viral on TikTok after he walked half a mile in a snowstorm to bring someone their pizza, and they only tipped him $2.
Oh!
So a cop named Richard Craig saw him walking and posted the video, and he started a GoFundMe to get him a real tip, and he's up to $40,000.
Well, wow. their jerkiness paid off for him. That's terrible, man.
I guess.
I mean, first of all, $2 tip on a pizza.
Are you a little sus about the whole GoFundMe thing, like me?
I'm a little sus about the GoFundMe thing, and I'm also a little salty about the number of orders that I delivered that were difficult orders that I received zero tip for.
You ever have to walk a half mile?
No one gave me. Yeah, one time I actually did, and I had to go up like 8 flights of stairs, too, to deliver somebody something in Florida.
You walked half a mile?
Yes. It's really difficult to, because guess what? If you don't do it, they...
No, I'm just saying, that's a long ways. Like, how far away do you have to park?
A half a mile, Kevin. Like, the number of times that I delivered something.
You deliver to Six Flags?
You got to park to walk half a mile.
I mean, like, that's like parking at Six Flags and walking all the way through the place. Half a mile's a long way, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty far, Kevin. I don't understand what you want me to say about this.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure I believe it.
I get what Andrew's saying, where it's like, I'm happy for this guy, but also at the same time, all he did was win the lottery.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are making difficult DoorDash deliveries today, and they're not going to get $400,000 or whatever out of it.
I mean,
so it's like, like Rachel said, he won the lottery. Somebody happened to see him and posted it in a position where it could go viral. And then now that's turned into this thing where we're even here in St. Louis talking about...
We love being kingmakers.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, man, this is a guy that went the extra mile. He could have easily said, there's no way I'm walking half a mile through the snow to give somebody their pizza.
He could have easily said that. That's just it. Depending on, especially the service he was delivering for, you really can't, right? There's no outlet for you to say to... You can smile all you want, Kevin, but I've actually done the job. So, like, there's no outlet for you to say... I can't do this. If you say that, they will probably just fire you in an automated message like they did to me.
And I'm saying a lot of people would have made that choice. And if you're getting a pizza on a night like that, don't tip $2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because if those people had just given him a normal tip, this is not even a story.
Absolutely. You should always tip.
So, yeah, so somebody that went the extra mile got the benefit of doing that, even though the people ordering it were idiots.